question has not always been asked. There are places and conditions which rate humanity very low. Heaven is an exception. The Pharisees had a sacred grid. Days were more important than healings. Institutions had priority over pain. Tradition was more important than life. The man with the withered hand should wait for 24 hours. Their defense allowed no exceptions. They became the jury to decide what was lawful and what was unlawful, and Jesus showed this presidium what was wrong with the conclusion in three sentences. What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Now that would officially be a breach of regulations. Seemingly there was a justification. There has always been a strong appeal in the Jew toward the sacredness of property. They do not want to lose money. It would not be a question of acting as the humane society would act. It would be a matter of profit or loss. Jesus touched a nerve. They would not have understood him if he had appealed to their pity, either for a sheep or a man. He appealed to their commercial instinct. How much is a man better than a sheep? If an institution can be set aside to save a sheep because it is too valuable to be lost, what may not be done in the interest of a human being by one who is alive to a person's intrinsic value? That's the heart of the matter. Which has the precedence? All arguments focus upon this. In California, the pedestrian has the right of way. People are more important than automobiles. Jesus made it plain how God feels. People are too valuable to be lost. He came to seek and to save them because, to his judgment, they were intrinsically worth saving. The price which he paid shows how he, at any rate, estimated them. There's an old proverb, the worst use you can put to a man is to hang him. It sometimes must be done, but it is a waste which is incurred reluctantly. God throws every roadblock at his command, mister, to keep a person out of hell. Man is too precious to be lost forever. God will employ every resource to save a person. The question to weigh is this: do you think this is the correct attitude? Or should it be, let a man suffer? Am I wrong? Far, far to the left, a suspicious socialist, to think in terms of rescuing man? Should institutions bend toward him, or should he bend toward institutions? Carlyle once took occasion to speak of the population of England as 30 millions, mostly fools. Can such contempt be justified? Does heaven run such an oligarchy in keeping with Carlyle's view? Are mankind so many cannon fodder, so much waste, so much unintelligible mass to be manipulated at will? The pharaohs, the Caesars, the Hitlers have all felt this contempt toward the public. Jesus said it is different in the bigger world. Too often the religious world has sided with the powerful and traditional institutions. Even David wobbled. He discerned that man was set in a place not far below the angels, but he failed to comprehend the real force of the fact. He asked impatiently, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. There was this temptation, don't pay too much attention to him. But Jesus loved people genuinely, everybody. Jesus believed that people are what it is all about. If the doctrine of total depravity incites to reduce evangelism and numbs the conscience of the church member so that the church member feels little or no burden, no compelling interest toward his or her fellow man's salvation, think what science's predicate has done. That man traces back to the ape. You can't be more scurrilous in your thinking. Your contempt shoves humanity into the gutter, into the alley with garbage and rats and vermin. Science has said thou hast made him a mite higher than the baboon. The campus has not been content with Eden, with the garden, with God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, seeking his friends. Science wants to go back to the polywog, to the bang-bang explosion, to some isolated cell. Science repudiates the garden. It chooses primeval caves in which pre-human brutes snarled and gnawed their bones. Science builds its corporations of service, but it does its best in text and philosophy and morals to downgrade man. It glorifies the ape. The thinking of Jesus was a shocker. And that's why the evangelical missionary arrives with such impact. He says to the black, the brown, the red, the yellow, you are important. There is no other reason for my coming. Otherwise, I would not have forsaken comfort and society. That is the power base of the gospel, who loved me, the individual, and gave himself for me, the individual. Man is not viler, sir. He's lost. Jesus deliberately took the title, the Son of Man. Take your history book and check titles. It will afford you an interesting experience. They tie to estates and pomp and battles and fortunes. The princes, the dukes, the knights, the lords of this world system lead upon privilege and fortune. Only Jesus of Nazareth considered humanity a better base. Son of Man. Jesus could see that dignity, no matter how lost. He could see Saint Peter amid quick murderous temper and foul language. He could see Saint Philip amid mundane, matter-of-fact, frozen existence. He could see men in boys. He could see clean in lepers. He could see virtue in the harlot. He could see generosity in greed. Man was worth saving. That was his creed. An administration took exception and crucified him. But he took upon himself the form of a man. He asked no exemptions. He refused options, even under excruciating pain. He was not God masquerading. He was a man. He was the man. Man as God planned man. And this is what you feel when you soak in the Gospels. All his thought of his work for men is colored by his belief in the eternal value of man. He taught it with eternal simple phrases. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost man, they were to be found. Nothing could ever be more important. Nothing must have precedence. Seek and save. These are the orders from heaven. Search through the obscurity and the darkness. Uncover, dig past the dust and the rubbish. Ignore the tarnish. The coin must be found. It must never be abandoned. Good housekeeping will not permit it, and God is a good housekeeper because the image of the king is on that coin, lady. Sheep can be silly and wander. They're helpless and cannot find the way. The burden is on the shepherd. The sheep gets dirty, torn by brambles, hunted by wolves. But it is a sheep, not a goat, and much less a jackal. The heart of the shepherd is toward the sheep. You cannot change the relationship. His welfare is tied to the salvation of his obligation. He is nothing, nothing without sheep. A man loses his son. He is the giant of heartbreaks. The boy is wrong. It began with wrong ideas. Bankruptcy brings the lad to the edge. He is reduced to swine and swindlers. He is a prodigal, but he's not a pig. Always he knows somebody wants him. He was created for better things. And there's a road home. Oh, yes, sir. Jesus was something different. He was a jolt to the panderers, to executives in ivory towers, to feudal lords, to sweatshops. He is the light of the world. Without him, lady, you would have the crush of pushing mankind back into the forest. And the religious ostracism that says, where is that value? Mankind is so much junk. His practice was like his theory. He associated with the common people. They heard him gladly. He cared. They knew he cared. There were no selfish interests involved. It was never an act. Common people are average people. Jesus was never anti-social, anti-government, anti-institutional. The privileged and the underprivileged, the cultivated, the vicious, the rich, the squalid. He mingled with every level. He did not isolate himself. He did not move between bulkheads. He was neither exclusively country club or ghetto. He did not allow his wisdom to make him a snob. He did not allow his poverty to make him paranoid. He did not allow his religion to make him withdrawn. He did not permit his passion to make him compromise. He walked on all the streets, yet without sin. He dined with the wealthy. He fed the hungry. He enjoyed a rich man's burial vault and a rich girl's perfume. Only those who withdrew themselves from their kind and insulated themselves behind wealth or class or religion shut themselves off from him. He was concerned with people. He sought them. He moved toward them on the beach, in the synagogue, where they worked, at the well, in the field, wherever. He fraternized. The critics and the columnists made a big thing of it. They questioned his credentials and expressed innuendos about his sanity. But he found sinners. He believed that to be employed in his father's business was the thing. He ate, he drank, he exchanged views. He found humanity as it was. He looked at man stripped of honesty and character, and he said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And the common people felt it and believed it. I say this to you with all earnestness and humility. If my hope of salvation lay only in my contemptible craving for God's pity, I should despair in advance. But since I learned that God needs me as well as I need him, I rest in the certainty that God will, unless I hinder him, accomplish his purpose in me. How much is a man better than a sheep? You'll get that answer in your Bible. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is the opening into man's consciousness. There is no other door. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Does Jesus care? Well, yes, he cares. And no one ever cared like Jesus. He loves you. Victories are won at the long, long altar. These facts cannot be denied. There's no human manipulation. You're far from this platform and are nigh only as the Spirit of God includes you. These next 10 seconds are very precious. Jesus Christ is shepherd, or he's nothing. He described himself as such during his residence here, thus he cares for you. What you're experiencing in this moment is meant to be a sense of confidence. He calleth for you. Make your response immediate and in faith. I would not want to live without his protection and provision. Otherwise, you live a lonely, uncertain, disappointing existence, never sure, never at peace. I ask you to give Jesus Christ a personal invitation. This is our confession of faith, that we believe Jesus of Nazareth to be the only begotten Son of God, Savior, and the promised Messiah. We seek forgiveness and cleansing. Free us from sin and reign in our members. I pray for the distressed, widows and elderly, who cannot make ends meet. Arrange for these additional income, dear God. I pray for the Christian boy or girl assaulted by Satan in our public school system. Save them from drugs and lust and physical injury. Let thy will be revealed in our nation. Gird preachers with strength in the inner man. Be with the farmer as he turns to the soil. And visit the country church. Let the family altar become the way of life again. Amen. I find joy and fulfillment in prayer. And I find that I can pray anytime and anywhere. Please direct all attention toward the risen one in our midst. He is present to confirm the word that has gone forth. He is God's great amen. Many believers are given eyes to see. Elisha was blessed with such sight. So gathered with us at this moment is one who has a joint in the body which so frequently pops out of place. And this condition is embarrassing and painful. This person has never felt that the condition warranted a miracle of healing. You always do the routine thing. And now Jesus has chosen you for his arena of visitation. Healed immediately and thankfully, he has a purpose in mending your body. Open yourself to him and be the witness he seeks. I'm only his servant messenger. The meeting is his arrangement. We are neither here by promotion or to establish reputation or corporate strength. We gather at the discretion of the Holy Spirit in bonds and praise that form this fellowship of the soul. And we're listening for the trump, for the voice of the archangel, for the rustle of the Spirit of God who will provide ascension for the meeting in the air. And you will need more than church membership, lady. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.